Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1517, The Boomerang Boss Effect with Margie Fox and Megan Flood.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life. Welcome to So Money.
There's so many people who are my age who either aren't working or took time out and are so jealous of me. And that's actually why we wanted to talk about this, because you know what? I make a lot less money at Marine Lane, but what I get is 10 times worth it because I am with a group that keeps me young.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm Farnoosh Torabi. Today, we are talking about what happens when your former boss becomes your employee. That's right. You go on to start a business and you hire your former boss to help you run the business. It's kind of magical, according to our two guests today, Margie Fox and Megan Flood. Megan is the founder of Marine Lane, a New York City design and branding studio that she founded in 2012. Prior to that, she was an employee at Margie Fox's firm, Maloney and Fox. Eventually, Megan moved on, started Marine Lane, and Margie moved on as well, sold her firm, held top roles at major advertising agencies in New York City. But for the last 3 years, Margie has been working as a partner slash consigliere at Marine Lane. How do the two generations get along? What are the benefits to Margie, other than, of course, the health benefits? And why the two say it's the perfect arrangement? Let's get into this. Megan Flood, Margie Fox, welcome to So Money, two of my favorite women in the world. Congratulations on your Entrepreneur Magazine feature, which features you two as kind of switching this new boss paradigm where at one point, Megan, you worked for Margie when Margie ran her PR and marketing firm Maloney and Fox when you were just out of college. And now the tables have turned. You, Megan, have your own PR and marketing firm, Marine Lane, and Margie is your consigliere. So now you are the boss. I first met Margie about, can we say now, 15 years ago. Megan, you and I probably knew her around the same time. We first met around the same time. You describe her so well, which is that she wants the best for you. That is apparent from the first minute you meet her. She is interested in you. She wants you to win. Margie, how did you know how to be such a good boss?
It's so weird that I actually turned out to be a boss, because when I graduated from college 1,000 years ago, two of my best friends went directly to Harvard Business School. And my other best friend got a lead role on General Hospital. And as I was driving my father back to Logan Airport and he saw people selling carnations in the median, he did say to me, "There's hope for you yet." So that I ended up being a boss is sort of an accidental bit of kismet. But okay. Because my North Star has always been to have fun, that I sort of wanted to set up a place where I was having fun and that everybody who worked for me was having fun, because I sort of felt like that might be the easiest way to keep people around. And I don't know what it is. Like, I always had people, my friends were more successful, prettier, taller, thinner, everything. And somehow I still had a modicum of self-confidence. And I always liked being the wind beneath people's wings. And I sort of felt like that would somehow come back to me. It was really not a well thought out exercise. But Farnoosh, when I met you and you talked about writing your book, and it was the first time I met you, and I said, "We'll have your book party in our office."
And you did.
And I did.
You're a woman who keeps her word.
No,
Megan. Margie's being really modest here in describing her approach to leadership. Megan, what was your experience when you walked through Maloney and Fox the first day? That was your first job, I believe, out of college. You might have even interned there if I read the article, if I remember correctly. So what was your first impression?
It was funny. So I graduated from Michigan School of Art and Design, and I applied to hundreds of places, and I heard back from two places on the very same day. So I had two opportunities. One was a full-time job at the New Yorker, and the other was a three-month internship at Maloney and Fox. And there was something about the team at Maloney and Fox when I interviewed. It felt like a really special place that Margie had cultivated. You walk in, people are laughing, having a great time, and everybody who worked there was so smart. And that's the reason I went with Maloney and Fox. I felt like I could actually contribute, and everybody there wanted you to succeed. Margie was the biggest mentor for me. And, you know, she constantly would be asking, "What do you want to do? What do you want to do here? How could you help Maloney and Fox, but also do what you want to do?" And I really took her on that. I met with Margie every few months, and she said, "What do you want to do here?" I said, "I'd love to have an art department." You know, I was an intern. And so she said, "Well, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen." I said, "How can I help you?" She goes, "I'm always interested." This is like 2013. Margie was like, I'm really interested in building an app that we could offer our clients and an app that we could have for Maloney and Fox. So I said, I could learn how to make an app. Margie's like, "I'll get you a class, do the class at night and make an app." And so that's exactly what I did. So Margie was always pushing me along the way and everyone at Maloney and Fox. And the one thing about Margie is she takes the work so seriously, but never herself. Right. So, you know, when it's time to do the work, it's focused, we get it done, but we have such a blast doing it along the way.
I mean, this interview, for those of you listening, I wanted to do this conversation because there's so many important layers to your relationship. There's so many teachings. One is just one kind of what we just discovered, which is like, what does it take to be a good leader? I'm hearing it helps to not take yourself too seriously. I'm also understanding that as a boss, as a leader, it's important to trust the people you hire and to follow through on their wishes. I mean, Margie, how did you know who to trust? I mean, clearly you go through a very important process of hiring people, you know who you're working with, but at the end of the day, not every boss would kind of take the lead from an employee, especially a younger employee who wants to start something new and invest in them. What, maybe it was something about Megan, but I think it also speaks to like just your own ability to trust other people and let them just do their thing and go through the process, even if it means failing.
I think that the truth is I'm a little lazy. So I always wanted people I could delegate to. And so me saying, why don't you own this project, actually gave them permission to do things and push themselves. I didn't have to do it. I could weigh in the end and help them a little bit. But I do think it was me being a tiny bit lazy. That's the truth of it. But I also, again, like I always had friends who were smarter and faster and all those things. And I sort of wanted that with people who worked with me. I didn't want people who could do what I did. I wanted people who could add to, compliment, push me, challenge me. And that was always, I mean, especially because, I mean, even just tuning into this podcast, I needed Megan to help me download the Chromecast because I'm three thumbs when it comes to that kind of things. And when I was working at Maloney & Fox, a shout out to a stupendous partner in Brian Maloney, but I wanted folks who knew. I had some kid put me on MySpace or Friendster because that's what it was at the time. I had heard of it. I'm always plugged in and hearing about it, but I wanted people who could make me understand it and understand why it was so important. So also in communications, understanding intergenerational thinking in ways that people engage with technology. Early on, I had a husband who was 12 years younger. I had a stepson who at one point, I mean, he was
12 years older, right?
Pardon
me? You were 12 years younger.
I was 12 years younger than my ex-husband, but I had a stepson, a stepdaughter, and my own daughter, all who were engaging with technology in really different ways. So, you know, I've never come about it. And I actually had my Aunt Lo, who was the oldest living intern, predated the movie The Intern, working at Maloney & Fox. But having all of the intergenerational people there, I think, was such an education because some people still watch TV. Some people mm-hmm. were still getting a hard copy of the newspaper. And so mm-hmm. all of that, I never wanted to hire anybody who was at all in my likeness. And I think that I sort of went with trust. And when it didn't work out, I made Brian fire them.
We love you, Brian.
Yes.
So fast forward, I guess, 15 years or so, Margie, you have semi-retired in the sense that after Maloney & Fox, you sold Maloney & Fox. You went mm-hmm. on to have some really big roles at major advertising firms running their U.S. businesses. And Megan, you went on to experience other jobs and then you incorporated your own business, Marine Lane. At what point did you both reconnect? And whose idea was this for Margie to come on board as self-described consigliere, which I love. It reminds me of Mad Men mm-hmm. and the Silver Fox. Who was his name? He was the consigliere. He just kind of comes in.
Roger,
you're the Roger of Marine Lane, where you come in, you kind of like cultivate the relationships, you drive home the deal a little bit, and then you're off to the next thing. And
forget the two martini lunch. That is part of my role.
Okay. Yes. So tell us about fast forward when you reconnected and what that was like and how this ultimately transpired. And maybe Megan, you can take the lead here on that.
Re-encounter. When Margie and Brian went on to be creative directors at Ogilvy after they sold their business, I was 25 at the time. And I thought, you know, what do I have to lose? What's the worst that can happen? Margie has given me such latitude to have this small art department. I was doing billing, new business, designing. Let me try and give it a shot. Let me launch this thing. So I opened up Marine Lane, and immediately Margie was, she's stayed in my life throughout the whole time, constantly recommending me to people. When I told her I was thinking of starting Marine Lane, she was like, what can I do to help? How can I introduce you to people? And she would give me advice just naturally for no, you know, nothing she was getting in return, but she was just so excited for me and wanted me to do well. So when Margie went on to be, you know, creative director at Ogilvy and then DeVries, and we constantly stayed in touch, and you know, we're so close that I really begged her to think about, you know, why don't we make this a real thing? You know, why don't you work for me full time? Because it's such a beneficial relationship. You know, I give Margie flexibility in terms of her hours or where she is. You know, she doesn't have to be in our office in New York City. She's traveling all the time. And then she gives us this knowledge, the wisdom, her amazing relationships. And she said yes. So Margie, what about from your perspective?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy, you want a bra that's comfortable, you can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/somoney.
I mean, I would say this, Farnoosh, when I got to Ogilvy and I needed to get creative work done, I could not get the level of talent, imagination, responsiveness, the expeditiousness that I could get with Marine Lane. So I met Ogilvy on 11th Avenue when it was in the chocolate factory, and I still hired Marine Lane. Then I went to DeVries Global. I was global creative director for a very short period of time there, but I hired Marine Lane because, again, the level of service, talent, and final product was bar none. And so I loved it because every time I recommended Marine Lane and Megan to anybody, it was like great on me. They loved me more. They were so happy with the team at Marine Lane and what they were getting from them that at one point I used to say, Megan, buy me lunch, buy me a bag. And then suddenly I was like, I do not need another bag. And I realized that my joy was seeing the kind of end product and creative that was coming out of this amazing small collective of genius designers. And so, I mean, I think I might have actually asked Megan, I'm like, could I come and work for you? And I'll work for you when you need me, when I want, when it has to happen. And it sort of started out loosey-goosey, and it's become a lot more not regimented, because I still take vacations when I need to. But I also know Megan's had three children, so I am on there to have, when she's on maternity leave, I can like take over and captain the ship with our crazy talented creative director, Hannah Hillier. So Megan knows that she can be at home and that nothing bad is going to happen. And I think that there's a part of me, because I am 60 and I come from an old school way, that, you know, we're in a service business and the client is right. And if somebody calls me at 5:45 a.m., I don't grouse. If I have to work a weekend, I get it. If I have to work at 11 o'clock at night, I do. But I have the latitude, and I'm a crazy like early morning riser. So I can do my work from 4 a.m. to 7:30 and get a shite ton done.
I thought that from the article was a very honest admission, is just that when you're, because our country, you know, healthcare is a lot of times tied to your job. And then if you want to retire early because you've done the good work of saving and investing, and you're like, I think I can kind of, you know, scale back my career. Well, where do you get health insurance? Because you got to be 65 to get, you know, the Medicare. So logistically, and that in those ways, it's also been great, right, to get the benefits.
I sometimes think my laundry list of benefits compared to Megan's is 10 times longer. The insurance is a huge thing, but I actually, there's so many people who are my age who either aren't working or took time out and are so jealous of me. And that's actually why we wanted to talk about this, because you know what? I make a lot less money at Marine Lane, but what I get is 10 times worth it, because I am with a group that keeps me young. Like, I know better podcasts, better music, better fashion because I'm in the office. I mean, Megan will attest, I am older by multiple decades and still the least mature.
That's true.
And I have the gray hair, so I have the gravitas on hard conversations, even though it's wildly dyed blonde. But I have the wrinkles and the gravitas and the connections that you don't have when you're in your 20s or your 30s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the joy that I get makes me say, I want to work for the rest of my life. Mm. And that I do. I mean, it is fun for me. And I am blessed because Megan is a crazily unusual human who is, besides being a great human, she's a fair boss and she's a smart boss and she's tough on people in all the great ways. And yeah, like I always say, like if I get a call and I'm on a walk or I'm doing something I might not be supposed to be doing, I'm like, got a call from my boss. And I talk.
Well, you know, as I'm, this is really also a story about, well, as the article called it, sort of the boomerang effect. Mm-hmm. And they more characterize it as like the boomerang boss. But really, I see this as when in life, when you invest in people, when you go the extra mile for people, when you believe in people, like there's a payoff that you're not even thinking about at the time, but look at the payoff now. look at the returns. I mean, the fact that you're both still together and friends, but also in this new relationship, you know, working together for Megan's company. Megan, I think it's really important what you're doing. I think it's dispelling a myth that these two generations, the, I guess, Margie, like Gen X boomer.
Boomer?
Really? I can't even, I don't, you're so hip. I can't, the boomer is.
She's so hip.
We need a new name for like where Margie falls on the spectrum, because boomer feels very not sufficient.
Farnoosh, I was actually on the subway the other day and somebody offered me his seat and I was praying he was flirting with me because I was like, are you standing up because I'm old or are you flirting?
Oh my God.
You better be flirting.
What I'd give for a seat on the subway. Yeah. But Megan, you know, there you can speak to this, right? That there is sort of this like, I mean, my father is 70 and somehow got an incredible job in his mid-60s, senior level. I joke he's probably the oldest person in the building. Mm-hmm. And he just wants, like Margie, he just wants to work forever because he really has found his passion. But I don't think that's common. And I don't think, and it's partly because people want to retire, but I think also employers are nervous to hire people that are older because they're worried like, well, how long are they going to want to work here? You know, and will they connect with the Zillennials and the, you know, the Gen Zers? Talk a little bit to that myth, because I do think it's just a falsehood.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, just having, you know, experienced this is the deal of a lifetime for me, because Margie, most of the people on our team are in their early 20s, late 20s, early 30s. So having Margie's perspective on everything is not only important, but it's critical on all of our clients. Our clients are range in ages. And so Margie will give that perspective to us. She's like a 2-minute conversation with Margie. If I have like a whole host, usually every day I'll call Margie early in the morning and be like, I have these three business questions, or how do I deal with these three things? And in 5 minutes, an answer will be done. She'll have advice on it. And it's just the most amazing and efficient like 5-minute phone call of my day. But also Margie brings that kind of old school mentality. So if we're having, you know, an issue with a client, we get an angry, maybe, you know, not so happy email. The first thing Margie will say is pick up the phone and call them. Call them right now. Just call them. Get on the phone. You got to call them. Don't respond on email. You know, let's meet them in person. Let's figure this out now. You know, if we're going back and forth with a client on an email, Margie will say, just pick up the phone. And so now I don't hesitate. People on our team don't hesitate. We're old school in that way. And that's really from Margie, because, you know, and also response time. Margie comes from the, you know, you respond to clients within an hour. So if we let an email go by, Margie's the first one to say, you better get on that. You've got to respond. You know, it's not like, oh, well, it's 5:05 PM. We have to get back to the client.
Picking up the phone sounds so terrifying. How do you do it? Can you coach me through that phone call? Like a client's unhappy and you're picking up the phone and they're not expecting you to call. They think you're spam. They pick up the phone. Well, how does that conversation go? How do you stay in control of that conversation?
Well, you know, they might not be angry, but it might be like, you know, just we're sensing that there's some kind of, you know, confusion or you know, are we understanding something? So it's just a matter of let's hear you out, because the tone on email or text sometimes can get, you know, miscommunicated. And, or we could say, oh, I think they're really angry about something, but they're not, they're just doing a million things. So it's just so much gets done faster if you just have a live conversation, than assume through email.
Although I do counsel the conversation on the phone to start with, did you just lose weight?
Oh my God. You look great today. Megan, I want to go back to when you made that early decision to go work for Maloney and Fox. It was a 3-month gig versus the New York. I don't know what I would have done. I mean, as a journalist, I probably would have picked the New Yorker, to be honest. But any advice for those who are at a crossroads or just coming out of college? And, you know, it's graduation season, so I'm sure if people are lucky to have options, what's the most important thing to assess? Because you're not going to find like the perfect job. And for you, like you made sort of the unexpected decision to go with the shorter gig, which isn't screaming security, right? Or longevity, but you turn it into quite the thing. What's your advice for young adults who are entering the market now?
You know, it was a decision I made based on just what I felt, where I would learn the most in the quickest amount of time. I was really eager and very hungry to learn. And, you know, just walking into the office, I felt just meeting the people that I felt like I could contribute in some way. I also felt like the clients Maloney and Fox had were very diverse. So I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I mean, I took the job at Maloney and Fox and I loved it there, but I still was unsure, you know, when I accepted the internship, if I was going to stay there however many years, and I ended up loving it and stayed for years. But I thought, where can I get the most experience as soon as possible? And, you know, Maloney and Fox had offered that to me because, you know, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then I also supplemented work with classes. I took classes at night at Parsons and FIT because I wanted to continue to learn. So I would say my biggest piece of advice is no matter where you land or if you haven't landed a gig yet, to keep learning. Just because you graduated, I think you still have to take classes. I'm taking a copywriting class right now, learning AI right now. So I think
I'm really impressed by that.
So I think just constantly learning is the most important, whether that's in your job or maybe you take what you've been offered and then you just continue learning on the side is my biggest piece, because it's very you know, uncommon that the first gig you land will be, you know, the one you want to stay in for years.
Also, it sounds like visit the office, which may not be something that we can do much these days. Two questions for you, Margie.
Yeah. So right. I was just going to say, you're so right about that, Farnoosh, because I learned there was an opportunity at Maloney and Fox to do design work. They weren't doing any design work in-house, but just physically being in the office, I was able to see the conversations the team was having, how they were outsourcing design. And so while I was interning, packaging FedEx boxes for 6 hours a day and then doing research or getting coffee, whatever it was, I raised my hand to do the design work at night, you know, just to show that I could do that. I would have never known if I wasn't, you know, overhearing those conversations in the office.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Margie? This new culture of work, a derivative of COVID, obviously, like a friend of mine's looking for a job right now, an event planner, but she's like, it's so hard because rather than maybe before there were 100 applicants for a job because it was a local, they wanted you to be boots on the ground. Now it's like 10,000 people. And it's almost making finding a job that much harder. But maybe you can speak more to just the culture of being in the office. I mean, Maloney and Fox was the epitome of workplace culture. When I got laid off in 2009 from thestreet.com, you might not know this. I was like, I am not in PR. I'm not in marketing. I'm not creative like them. But maybe I can find a way to work here because I love the culture so much. I'm like, do you need a in-house copywriter? do you need a video correspondent? I can do that.
You know, it's so funny. You probably would have gotten a job no problem because, you know, A, it was not that hard to recruit when a lot of people have, it's 5 o'clock somewhere as a cocktail hour bar. Ours was, it's noon somewhere. But I actually, Megan and I have talked about this because I started my career at Ogilvy in 1987, and I am still friends with, there is a group of women, there's six of us that get together twice a year. And I would count on hands and feet and other body parts, friends that I've made for a lifetime from my work. Because I believe in working really, really hard. But if you're going to work really, really hard, hopefully you're working really hard with fun people who make it interesting and challenging and push you and then do become lifelong friends. And I feel like it makes me sad for people who are missing out on that now. I mean, so I would definitely, I know it's a pain in the ass and you can stay at home, but you know, people compliment you on your outfit better. Like you have to have a whole outfit on.
Not you have just a reason to put on an outfit or what are you kidding?
Yes, yes. To go in. But I think it's amazing to go in, even if it's three times a week or four times a week. the friendships that don't happen if you're not in, it makes me sad. And I would also add one thing to Megan's point about starting in a career. I do think the vibe of the place and that the people there are going to help you, because normally when you graduate, you're much smarter than what your first job is going to be. Like, it's just like, it's the point. And all of us do that. And it takes a little, you know, you have to swallow your pride. But I remember a very good counsel from one of my friends, Sue Decker, who said to me, I was like, oh, I'm going to be in advertising. I didn't even know what advertising was. And she said, Margie, you would be better off doing actual advertising at a toilet bowl company than answering the phone at an ad agency. So like, there's a point to me that I think a lot of people want a glamorous first job. And sometimes the glamorous first jobs, you are going to do the least glamorous work. And if there's something that doesn't smack of Amazon or Netflix or some of these other ones that have cachet in the name, you will have a lot more opportunity to rise in the ranks and learn things faster.
Thank you for saying that. It's going to help a lot of people out, I think, who are looking for the shiny object job and feel maybe they haven't succeeded if they don't land the Fortune 500 name on the resume. So
Margie, I want my daughter to work at Portajohn, like Portajohn.com. That is my aim for her. I want her to aim high for a Portajohn company.
She will rise quickly there. Margie, in the article in the entrepreneur piece, you gave some, you were talking about, and you talked earlier too in the podcast about how some of your peers are jealous. Advice for those who are in their 60s looking for that next career opportunity, but also don't want to work 40 hours a week and want to have more flexibility in the absence of luck or in the absence of like being someone's boss and then becoming someone who works for that person, how would you point someone in the right direction at this stage in their career?
I think there are a couple things. A, put your ego on a top shelf. Like, you know what? It's not, you are not going to be the top banana, and it's okay, because the responsibilities and some of the headaches that go with that right now for me at my age are not worth it. You know, Megan has to deal with the managerial, administrative, the payroll, the rent stuff, and I don't have any of that. But, you know, when you've had a huge job and a big title and you made a ton of money and then you go down to something else, if you don't have an ego about it and you're like, I did that, it's somebody else's time to shine, it's okay. I think you have to have flow. I think that you have to no ego, no flow, not expecting to make the money, because there are people who take time off from work to have their kids, which I respect. Whatever is your decision, I completely respect it. But do not expect to come in at the place where you left off. Like, you've left off and there's a million things that are new now. I know ChatGPT. I know DALL-E because of Megan and the team at Marine Lane. But if you're out of it for a while, there's going to be a lot that you don't know. And I think that if you are willing to come in at a different place, that people are going to be happy to have you, because truthfully, if you've been a mother, you have probably 10 times more responsibility. You can juggle a million things. It's easy to sort of translate those skills, those life skills, to what happens in an office. And I think that even if you're not doing the top job, just the joy of being needed, part of a team that there are things that you can bring. I can afford to take kids out to lunch. You know, I made enough. So it's like my joy to say, you did a good job. Let me take you to lunch. Let me help mentor you. Megan mentors everybody in our office, but she has less time. So it's easy for me to do special side hustle projects with the folks who are working in our office.
Wonderful. I want to work for you too. Megan, you said you were taking an AI course. What's your read on AI? How are you going to use it to help and not destroy? I just quick thoughts on AI, because we're hearing a lot about how it could be the end of society.
I know. So, you know, we're just getting into it. We're learning it. The biggest thing that I've learned is that there's a strategy for using it effectively. I mean, on one hand, like personally, I've planned my summer vacation with my kids using ChatGPT. I said, you know, designed me an itinerary for a 7, 5, and 3-year-old, family fun, hikes and activities, and got an amazing result. But there's an art form to it. I mean, using DALL-E is not easy. You know, you got to know what to plug in, what's going to make sense. So, you know, just understanding those nuances and how it works, but it's definitely new territory that I need to be on my game about, which is why I'm learning about it. And, you know, I want to find out how we can use it effectively and smartly and the right ways.
I mean, I do think, Farnoosh, that I saw it in Megan at 22, that she always wanted to learn things. And I like being a lifelong learner too. So I think that I take a big page off of her, like out of her songbook, to keep learning. And I would say I didn't want to. I have many, many hours in a day, and I didn't want to be that cliche Upper West Side woman who was playing canasta, mahjong, and pickleball. But I actually have enough.
Oh, yeah, pickleball.
But I actually have enough hours to still do my job, play pickleball, mahjong, and canasta. So I am that cliche.
Wow, you're the cliche, and you have health insurance and you are working an awesome job with the person that you kind of both grew up together. You both grew up together in some
ways.
We did.
Yeah, you know? I look around because there was a great guy who worked for me, Garland Harwood. I don't know if you remember
yes.
him.
Yes.
A major PR communications agency called Confidant. And he's working, Lydia Voles, who worked for us
yes.
at the Fox, is his chief of staff now.
Wow.
And there's like, I'm now hearing this more wow. often. And I just, Megan and I mean, if a trend is three, we want this for other people because it just, when it's right, it's when it's good, it's great. It
yeah.
really is.
Well, we've got an audience here. We got some good numbers to work with here in the So Money audience. Maybe you listening, you run a company or you are approaching retirement or you're just out of college. I mean, if anything, just take this story and remember that it can work. It may not work for you tomorrow, but keep it in mind. I'm learning it's important to invest in people, take chances, stay in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to keep learning and pushing yourself and pick up some pickleball. Pick up some pickleball if you want. No pressure for me. Margie Fox, Megan Flood, thank you so much. Everyone, I'm going to link to their entrepreneur article in our show notes. Thank you both. And come back anytime. Margie, you're getting lunch for us next, right? Like lunch on you?
Oh, yeah. It's so lunch on me. It's so lunch on me. Kazunori, 11:30. We have to go early.
All right. I'm there.
Okay.
Thank you, Farnoosh.
Thanks so much to Megan Flood and Margie Fox for joining us. Check out marinelane.com to learn more about their business and head over to our show notes to grab the link to read the full Entrepreneur Magazine article, Can a Boss and an Employee Swap Roles? Yes, they can. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.